agenda is in IRC. Today on the agenda, we have the JSON-LD-RDF alignment discussion, the review of all last call 2 issues, and the candidate rec preparation. Before we get into that, we should talk about Robert's concerns with the list being able to give a list properties, associate properties with a list. We'll take that up as the first item on the agenda. Are there any updates or changes to the agenda at this point? Okay. Let's see. Robert, what do you want to call this issue? Is this assignment of properties to lists?
Yeah, or lists with identity. Either is fine.
Okay. Okay, would you mind giving us an overview of the issue and the use case that you're unable to achieve with JSON-LD today?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. So first of all, thank you very much for discussing it. I realize that the issue has been brought up before, as Marcus says in IRC, it's issue number 75, that has already been discussed and closed. So it's very much appreciated that you're taking the time, you as a community, taking the time to rediscuss it. So the issue that we have is we would very much like to have RDF lists that have particularly identity, so they can be referred to from multiple graphs.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, it would be desirable if they could also have additional properties, such as a label, so that you can say, here is the name that you can call this list.
Mm.
The use case that we have in Open Annotation is that we need to have order for determining how to select the appropriate part of a resource that should be annotated. So, for example, if you have an HTML page, then you only need a single selector, we call them, that says it's this part of the page, it's this part of the text. So that can be done, for example, using a quote of the exact text that you're annotating, a bit of text before it and a bit of text after it. And that's how almost all annotation web annotation clients currently and in the past have done it.
Mm.
So the Open Annotation group is also part of the W3C Digital Publishing Interest Group, which is essentially using the web platform for ebooks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's with the IDPF, who are responsible for EPUB,
mm-hmm.
And the IDPF have agreed that Open Annotation will be used as the annotation standard for all ebooks, or
mm-hmm.
EPUB ebooks. Now, the EPUB format is essentially a zip file, which contains HTML, CSS, images, videos, and so on. So it's just a frozen snapshot of a website, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than having to create a new selection mechanism, what we would very much like to do is have a file selector within the EPUB and then reuse the existing methods. So for example, first you would want to have a selector that says, take the EPUB, which is just a zip file, and select this HTML file from within the zip, and then use your existing methods to determine what part of the HTML file that you're annotating.
Mm.
And the reason that we want to do that, of course, is because there are many other resources, you know, arbitrary resources that you could put within an EPUB, such as video, audio, images, style sheets, you know, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to have to reproduce every single selection mechanism just for EPUB. So thus it would be great to have an ordered list of two selectors. First pick this file, then do this segment within that file, within that resource. So in order to do that currently, the model says that you have a list, which is the target of the object of the has target relationship for the annotation, and that list says first you do this, then you do that. However, so that would be fine if we could simply identify the list, because we want to be able to reuse those things in multiple annotations, so that if someone else wants to also annotate that particular segment of the document, then they can simply reuse the identity or refer to it in other statements, such as the thing identified by this selector or described by the selector is false. I disagree with this particular statement in the EPUB. Or there's a typo here.
Say that again. Which statement was that you disagree with?
the annotation could be there is a typo at this position.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and then someone else might want to say, I fixed the typo at this position.
Okay.
There's also use cases to do with ordering of the targets of an annotation. So in open annotation, we allow multiple targets. Mm-hmm. So you could say, for example, the first passage on page 3 is derived from the second passage in page 6.
Mm.
So then there's order described in the comment of the body of the annotation. It would be nice to be able to represent that order within the targets. We don't consider that quite as essential because it's not really machine actionable.
Mm.
But it would be nice to do. Then another project that I work on is called Shared Canvas, which is about producing online facsimiles of medieval manuscripts, but it could be for any digitized work.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, we need to have a sequence of pages. We would very much like to use JSON-LD for the representation. So the easiest method for having a list of pages that a page-turning application can step through is very desirable there.
Mm-hmm.
So for Shared Canvas, we took, I forget exactly who suggested it, maybe it was Marcus, the list items approach,
mm-hmm.
Because it's not really something that needs to be, that needs to have the same identity as the list. We can offset it. We can put in the has list or list items relationship, but it might be nice if that was standardized so that processors knew that, hey, this is special somehow, so that everyone doesn't constantly reinvent list items everywhere.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But at that point, it could just be at list. So yeah, those are the two use cases that we have. As far as the open annotation, so I'll try and talk about open annotations. That's W3C, and the Shared Canvas is just a use case. So for the community group for open annotation, we discussed it. We discussed it twice. Once on the mailing list, where the feeling was we shouldn't change the model for a particular serialization. And then again at the community group meeting face-to-face, which was last week in Europe. And the feeling was echoed there by a different set of people that it would be great to try and have lists with identity in JSON-LD. So this was a particularly well-timed call. If it can't be accommodated, then we would probably still stick, putting my cards on the table, I would probably still stick with recommending JSON-LD as the serialization to use by default, but we'd have to reassess it when we move to a working group structure rather than just a community group.
So what's the timeline on when this feature would need to be in JSON-LD? Do you have a timeline, or how long would the working group be around for? When is the close of work on these various projects?
Yeah. So the at the moment, the Open Annotation Community Group is in implementation phase, I guess. The spec is reasonably stable, modulo these few minor issues at the edges. So we would hope to, we need to have the discussion with Ivan, but we would hope to move from a community group to more of a working group structure next year.
Okay, so we're talking that the time frame for that is years, so 1 to 2 years.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. The reason I ask is because we're very, very close to going into candidate rec with JSON-LD, and if we were to add this feature in, it would put us back by multiple months. So I was wondering if we could slate this feature for JSON-LD 1.1, which would be a fairly quick iteration after the 1.0 spec goes out. More directly speaking, I think that we could, if we think that we should put this feature in, I'm fine with putting the feature in, then I think that we would have a fairly easy time convincing implementers to add the feature, because it seems like it might be simple. I don't know, devil's in the details, of course, but if we put it in, or if we add it to the test suite, then the chance that other implementers will see the tests or see the feature and implement it is much higher. So the idea would be, the plan would be, it would not go in JSON-LD 1.0, but we do plan to put it in JSON-LD 1.1. And for all practical purposes, you should see the feature in there within the next 6 months to a year, versus having to wait for another working group to start up on JSON-LD, which could take multiple years.
Yep.
Would that approach work for you?
Yes. Given that you're much further ahead than we are in the process, although it's not our preferred option, if the implementation is really problematic, so for example, Marcus said that it would become unpredictable. I didn't entirely understand what would be ambiguous, but I trust Marcus to know what he's talking about. So it would be easier for us to change things now before we go into the working group than after, of course. So we could also change over to the list items type of approach in the next, I would say 3 months, at a guess. I can't speak for the community as a whole, but in that sort of time frame, we could issue a draft 3 with the essentially the only change being this fix.
Okay.
And then that would... So I don't believe that anyone has implemented it yet. However, the IDPF are going to need to have an answer so that they can then recommend to their implementers.
Okay.
So it would be if we can rely on it being in 1.1, then we'll leave it as it is. If we can't, then we need to make the decision as to whether to wait or to change the model now when it's easy to change it.
Right, I gotcha. Okay. So let's just assume that. I mean, we still need to talk about whether or not the group wants to add the feature, but if the answer to that is yes, then the approach is going to be we're going to put it in JSON-LD 1.1 and try not to hold up JSON-LD 1.0 getting out the door with this feature. Okay, and that seems to work for you. Nicholas, you're on the queue?
Yep, that's great.
Yes. First thing I think is that, as far as I know, Turtle doesn't support this syntax either, given that you have a shorthand for list in Turtle. Actually, none of the shorthands, neither in Turtle nor RDFXML, as far as I know, can use this in the way you want it to be used. That is, using a list itself as the selector in this case, i.e. the thing that you want to talk about and the use as a domain-specific object. Have you discussed that as well? And am I missing something?
No, I don't think so. So, yeah, in Turtle, you've got the parentheses for lists, and in you've got the parse type equals collection for RDFXML. If I recall my serializations correctly, the identity is easier in RDFXML because you've got the property for the URI. I probably shouldn't be saying this on a conference call without checking my facts, but that would be my that's my recollection. So yeah, we have considered the other serializations, and indeed that it's not ubiquitous. It would be a nice feature for JSON-LD, but it's not something that would magically work across all serializations,
right,
or wouldn't work the same across all serializations.
No, but because the main argument I think we had when we discussed issue 75 was that although in the core RDF spec, it is, even in the primer I checked today, it is explicitly said that there is no thing prohibiting lists from being described with more properties or even being used in very other strange ways, like having multiple first properties or things like that, or having identities themselves. Nothing in RDF itself prohibits this, but none of the core syntaxes allow it. It's not really intended to be used like that. As far as I know, lists are intended to be used as syntactic constructs, as if they are part of RDF syntactically, though model-wise, as we all know, they're not really. I think a problem would be that if this was supported in JSON-LD, apart from the other syntaxes, it would be much easier to deviate from the recommended usage pattern, and also possibly harder for a future RDF specification if it would ever want to add lists as something native, just as literals are today. That wouldn't really be possible it would be harder to be backwards compatible. I mean, it's still today because you can use the RDF first next properties directly, but they're not really intended to be used on things which are themselves business resources, if you will. I mean, domain-specific things, but rather low-level constructs.
Uh, Robert, did you want to respond? David Boots on the call next.
I agree. The notion of order in a graph is always problematic, you know, from any perspective. I agree it's not the common method to have a resource that is a list and has identity. It would be nice to, maybe we should talk to David Wood and co, it might be nice to see some of that reflected in RDF Concepts 1.1 as a more formal statement about them. But yeah, I guess that's another topic.
David Booth. Yeah, I do think it would be good for the RDF working group to consider this, because I agree with the previous speaker's comments that it doesn't fit with the usual pattern that people use lists for. So I think it would be important to consider its implications.
Okay, so someone that's going to be on the call tomorrow, or David, would you mind kind of chasing that down or raising it in that group, in the RDF group?
I could help do that. I didn't 100% grok the suggestion, because I just found out about it just now, but I could help do that.
Yeah, I think Marcus and Greg will be able to follow it up. It just needs to be raised in the group. It may be an issue created for it, so that that group can have something to track the concern with.
I'm not a member of that group.
That's fine. Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting. Okay. We'll have someone else.
Probably the best thing is if Robert writes an email to Public RDF Concepts. And then
yes, I think that would be the right way to do it. Yep.
Okay, great.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I shall do that. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So any other thoughts on adding this feature to JSON-LD? Marcus, you said that there's a round-tripping issue or an ambiguity issue.
Well, the thing is, if you would allow such things, you couldn't count anymore on the fact that you can always compact a list to just an array in compaction. So sometimes it would stay an object and sometimes it would turn into an array. So that's what I meant with unpredictable somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And also the algorithms would probably get quite a bit more complex, I think. I didn't look into detail, but I'm quite sure compaction lists would get quite a bit more complex.
Yeah, I agree. So there's two approaches we could take. One of them is, you know, of course, not out of the feature, but the second one is to say that, you know, lists are effectively a minefield. If you're going to use lists I think we wanted to stay away from saying something like that. So effectively, what we'd have is if you tried to compact the list that had an ID, it would continue to stay in expanded form. And that's problematic for folks that want to be able to process lists in a standard way. That said, there might only be a certain class of data that uses, like, for example, the open annotation community will end up using this, and if that's the case, then that community will know that they need to look, when they go to process lists, that they need to look for expanded form and compacted form. Nicholas, you're
just to agree with Manu's point, and I think, Marcus, at least you agreed when you wrote the issue that there might be something new here which might be interesting to investigate. But I definitely think that we should not do that without discussing the implications with the RDF working group, just as we've said just now, that it borders on the syntactic and the uses might be compromised. To some extent, this might be almost as problematic as B-nodes for predicates, although it's still possible to do this in raw RDF. And I think we saw that when we introduced the list, expanded list form, it seems fairly obvious that why can't you add an ID and other properties since you have a list as the key. But, I mean, on the other hand, you can't do that with literals if you use the at value. If you start to use properties of them as well, we end up with something that is illegal RDF. So it really borders on the syntactical collapse.
Marcus?
Yeah, I agree. Basically, I just wanted to say that because it, I mean, it anyway stays in object forms in expanded form, it, in, if it's serialized in JSON-LD, it doesn't look any different than if you would use, like, list items property or something like that, and the value of that list items property is then the real list. So just from looking at the JSON, it would look almost indistinguishable. So I'm not sure if that wouldn't be the easier way forward for also the open annotations group, because that also cleanly maps to other serialization formats.
Sorry, I missed the I missed the actual proposal, Marcus. What was the proposal?
It was more an observation. So the fact that you can't compact such lists anymore, so they would stay in object form, in expanded object form, means that such constructs would look almost exactly the same as if you would use a list items property or something like that on that object instead of at list. And that would also make it much simpler to serialize that in other serialization formats, for example.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, it's, so how much... I'm sorry, I'm jumping queue. Robert, go ahead.
So I agree. I think it would be the easiest solution for everyone to have some list items like property, especially given the previous... statements about RDF and syntax. What would be nice, and maybe this is JSON-LD, maybe this is the RDF working group, would be if there was some well-known predicate for list items as opposed to it just being something that everyone makes up separately.
How about RDF value, although you don't know that it's a list unless you look at the actual value?
Yeah, that's my concern with RDF value, that if it's, because the semantics is explicitly fuzzy, it's hard to know that it's actually supposed to be a list. So, for example, you wouldn't be able to put at container list at the top to know that it was a single predicate with the object of a list as opposed to multiple RDF value predicates.
Right. Yeah.
If there was a predicate that we could recommend, that would be fantastic. If not, then we can make up our own one, but it would be nice to not have to do that. It would also be a much easier sell towards changing the model if there was something that we could point to say, look, this is what's being recommended by RDF or by JSON-LD, this is what we should do, rather than having to do it ourselves.
Okay, so an alternative that we could do then to get this working in the short term is to create some kind of vocabulary for lists and say, list items is a property, a certain type of property that you can use if you want to associate an identity with the list and be able to describe the list. Okay, I think that would be much easier for us to do than adding at list. And it seems to me that is something that would have it has a lot more benefits than putting this native list identity support into JSON-LD. And that if we make that recommendation, that it works in Turtle, it works in RDF-XML, and it's interoperable across all of those languages.
Yep.
Okay. Would that address your issue if we did that, if we created a really quick list vocabulary to do that?
I think so. The community group, this was discussed in the community group meeting, and it wasn't preferable. However, I think that the syntax arguments are much stronger than we would prefer to keep it the same way as it currently is. It would be preferable to have a single solution that's interoperable as opposed to multiple non-interoperable solutions.
Right, exactly. Okay, so are there any? I think let's go ahead and stop the discussion at this point. Are there any? Does anybody object to reopening issue 75, and specifically putting this discussion in there and stating that we're going to try and standardize on a vocabulary to express lists that need to be identified and annotated?
By we, you mean the JSON-LD group or community group or the RDF working group?
The JSON-LD group specifically, and then we might move this over to the RDF group for discussion. Basically,
JSON-LD 1.0 or as a separate product?
As a separate product, okay. and something that the JSON-LD group can kind of get behind and say, look, this is if you want to annotate lists, express it like this, and it works across all RDF languages. And then the hope is that they'll figure out in the RDF working group, they'll figure out some way to get it into RDF concepts before they go direct with it. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
I think we should try to have this as an RDF issue then, because it really is, this would not come up at all if lists in RDF was syntactic at the core of the LSTRAC model. It comes up because it is not, and it is even discussed in the primer as something that it might be possible for certain cases to use lists in unexpected ways. Therefore, I think it's a really sore spot in the RDF concepts. I'm not sure that. I think we should try to push it into that immediately. We could open issue 75 with this in mind, but I think it's arbitrary if we or Open Annotation or any of the actual existing list ontologies out there try to push something forward. It won't solve the problem, but the real problem is that it's not in the RDF or RDF schema vocabulary, I think.
All I was trying to do is give Robert something to go back to his groups with that says that people are working on the problem. But we're members in the RDF working group, so we can just create an issue right now.
Yeah, I think that's okay. That's preferable.
Okay. So how about a proposal? Create an issue in the RDF working group that formalizes a way to express lists that need to be identified with a URL and annotated using properties. Does that proposal look okay to everyone?
Mm-hmm.
Plus one, minus one, plus zero. that is resolved. Okay, so Robert, you should be able to point to that, and then hopefully shortly there'll be an issue in the RDF working group that you can point to say that we're working on that. And then that will hopefully that can be resolved in the next couple of months, which gives you a fairly clear path forward with all the work that you're doing. Okay, is there anything else on this issue that you'd like to discuss, or is this good enough for now?
No, this is great. Thank you all so much for spending 45 minutes of your valuable time on it. I'm glad that we could come to a resolution, which I'll take back to the implementation group, and I'm reasonably confident will be straightforward to accept.
Great, fantastic, and thank you, Robert, for taking the time to join us and explain the issues. It's always very helpful to get input from folks that are outside this group. Okay. Anything else before we move on? Okay, Bakash, you're on the phone, is that right?
Yeah.
Hi. Do you have an update to give us this week? Could we do that very quickly?
Yeah, I have to talk a lot, around 10 minutes.
Okay, good. 5 minutes would be better.
Okay. I think what's broken in Playground and Bug 50?
Sorry, was that a question?
Yeah, because I couldn't understand. In my, for me, the Playground is working cool.
So what's broken is when you switch between. So for example, if you go to the Playground and you click on the person example, and then you go down and click on the expanded tab.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the certain. I don't know if that's really broken.
Because that's the way it should be. So in some cases, there are only two divs.
Hold on. So when you click on the tabs, the context and the frame go away, right? Which is true. That's the way it should be. But I think it's confusing people.
Okay. So because the initial design, Greg had told me to put it in that way. So what I'll do is I'll make the divs visible always. They'll never lose their visibility.
So visible always, and I wonder if you should disable them or not. It's a weird UI paradigm. I don't know if you can put more thought into it, but it is a bit, because I did the same thing. Right, and I should know better, but I looked at it and I said, I clicked on expanded and then it looked like things disappeared that shouldn't disappear. I think that's because when you're editing this stuff, you flip back and forth between compacted and expanded, and you forget which tab that you're on. So when you go back and you want to kind of change the context, you can't do that. So for example, so I think an expanded form...
I think the problem is that the headers stay there, but the input fields disappear, and so it looks broken. Whereas in the old version, we expanded the input field to the full width and hide it all the other headers, which didn't apply anymore.
Sorry, I didn't get you.
Go ahead. If you look at my Playground, which still uses the old version, I just pasted the link in IRC, if you then click on expanded or something, the input field is expanded to the whole width, and the title of JSON-LD context is hidden as well as that input field.
Where is that?
Do you see the link that Marcus put in the IRC window?
Yeah. I'm at Marcus Lantler JSON-LD Playground. So I click on compacted and expanded.
Yeah, if you click on expanded, the right-hand side disappears, including the header, and the left-hand side input field takes up the whole width.
Okay.
Whereas in your playground, currently the input field on the left stays the same width, but just the input fields disappear on the right and the headers are still there.
Okay, so what I'll do is I'll make the input fields available all the time. It's taking that space itself because it's a responsive. So if you want, I'll make it expanded. Not a problem.
Yeah, you might have to play around with it a bit to make it. I think the old way of doing it is better.
Okay.
But if there's something that's better than that. So, for example, I don't think that keeping the JSON-LD context and the JSON-LD frame around at all times is the best thing to do, because people are going to get confused when they're looking at, for example, expanded form and they're editing the context or the frame and nothing changes, right? So I think the only thing that you want to show is the thing that's very specific to the tab that's being viewed, right?
Okay.
Which means revert it to the way the old version worked.
I'll do that. So this is the issue with the playground, and this is the bug 50.
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
So, okay. Now, by this week, so all the internal linking and the header things have to be done, and which will be more or less wrap up the website. Last week, I was doing a lot of backbone JS because my next agenda is the creator app. So in the creator app, so I was suggested that I should have a bare a form available with a text area where the JSON can be generated and a text area for the JSON LD.
Okay, so, great.
So my initial my question was what all basic things should be in the form?
I think you should start off, this is for the creator that just creates schema.org markup.
So it'll generate a JSON from the form itself, and then it will add a context and a vocab.
Okay. So I think the core thing you should start out with is maybe a person template. Basically be able to mark up a person. And in the top, there should be a form field. So it should have, you know, the name, home page, things like that in the top. And you might want to start out with something very basic, just the name, home page, and a couple of very basic properties that almost everyone's going to want to fill out. And then when people type into those fields, the JSON LD is shown at the bottom with the proper, you know, context and everything generated.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. And so after this, so my question is, if I start with creator app, because that's my next target, so in according to my the deliverables schedule, hello?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
In between, there was a task for context, where I have to write context.
Right.
So should I do it right after the website, or should I do it later?
You're going to need that context for the creator app, probably. So you could create a scheme.org context. We're going to want to coordinate with Dan Brickley at Google because he's also trying to create such a thing, and I think Greg Kellogg also might be working on it. So you're going to want to email Greg and Dan Brickley to see where they are on that, because you might just be able to reuse their context.
Think Sandra and Greg already have something.
Okay. So maybe you should email Sandra Hawk and Greg Kellogg and see what they have.
But probably the easiest thing is if we keep those discussions on the mailing list so that everyone who knows something can respond to it.
Okay. So Sandro Dan Bree.
Yeah. But send an email to the mailing list asking for the context.
So my target goes like this. After the website is done, I start with writing the form.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Somebody is echoing. Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah. So after that, initially, quite some time ago when we were having a discussion, so it was told there can be a one statement for vocab.
Say the last bit again, one what?
So there was a one statement vocab and context, which can be added to any of the JSON and it can make it a really valid JSON LD. So for the time being, I'll use that.
Yep.
During these developments, I'll communicate with Greg and learn the context.
That sounds good. That sounds like a solid plan.
Because I don't know how much context might take my time, because this will be my first experience. But within the well time, the creator app will be more or less ready. So with due course of time, I'll edit the creator app as well, and with that, start developing the LinkedIn app.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds good. And that should cover you for at least the next 2 weeks of work, right?
Yeah. It will take more or less 2-3 weeks. And as a result, I was doing a lot of backbone last week to make the code very clean and crisp.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's my update.
Okay.
Thought I will... Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you, Vikash. Just let us know, still on a weekly basis, where you are and what help you need to make progress.
Sure. That's why this meeting was very important for me today.
Okay, great. Thank you, Vikash. Let's see. We should get around to the JSON LD RDF alignment. Do people have 15 to 20 more minutes?
This is David. I do.
Okay, good.
Yes.
David Booth, I mean. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Next up is the JSON LD RDF alignment. I went into the spec over the weekend and tried to add as much of David Booth's feedback as possible. I went through every single one of the issues or the comments I think we had consensus on and added that to the spec. And then I tried to also integrate much of what we talked with Peter Patel Schneider. So I went as far as I felt there was consensus, and I stopped short of making the list of changes that I put in that email above. In the email that I just pasted into the mailing list. So to review very quickly, David, I think... everything that you wanted in the spec is there except for the skolemization stuff, which is still being discussed. Did I miss anything, or have you been able to review the changes yet?
Unfortunately, I just found out about them just 5 minutes before this call, so I've been trying to go through them just as we've been speaking. So far, they look great.
Okay.
I noted just a couple of very minor things,
okay.
but so far they look great. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
for the minor things, please respond to the email that I sent to the mailing list, and we'll try to clean those up.
Yep.
Okay. Is there anything else that reading through? I mean, if these changes stick, which I don't see any reason why they wouldn't, that would address the initial last call comment that
I assume so, but since I haven't gone through yet to check, I don't know for certain, but...
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah,
it's in the right direction. You didn't read it and know this is totally
absolutely.
Not what I... Okay,
yep.
Okay, good.
Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely in the right direction, yep.
Okay, good. So then we'll look forward to seeing your feedback and the other minor changes that you'd like to make later on, maybe this week or next week.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Peter's changes were next. Appendix A was changed basically to just flat out say JSON-LD is an extension to the RDF data model, which is a statement that we hadn't made before, which I think caused a lot of confusion. We say it pretty clearly now, and in fact, we go even further and say, let me find the exact spec text here. So here's the change that we made because of Peter's comments. At the very top, we say we remove the concept of the JSON-LD data model, and it is just now data model. And we say that the data model is an extension to the RDF data model. And then we also say that we summarize what this data model is below, and then we do the summary, and then after the summary we say the intent is for the definitions above to be as compatible as possible with the abstract syntax of RDF datasets and RDF graphs. The only point at which the definitions deviate from the ones in RDF concepts is when the RDF model is extended. And then we say complete details about the extensions can be found in Section C, relationship to RDF. I believe that this is in line with what Peter wanted, but unfortunately Peter's not on the call today, so we won't be able to know until he responds to the email. Do other folks feel that this is the right type of change, or is there a problem with this change?
So this is David Booth. It read to me like very much like it was in line with what Peter was asking. So. To the extent that I can channel Peter, I don't know if I can do that, but yeah, it looked good to me. I did note, though, that one of the things I think wasn't quite correct here, and this the bullet item that says every, here, I'll paste it into IRC, I was actually just putting it in email, this one, this bullet item that says every node is an IRI, a blank node, a JSON-LD value, or a list. So there are two things about that. One is that restricting the literal space to JSON-LD values is a restriction of the RDF model rather than an extension.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that I don't think you need to mention lists there, because I think that in line with Greg Kellogg's suggestion, I think lists can be viewed entirely as syntactic sugar, and they just kind of disappear when you get to the model. I mean, they just become a regular part of the model. They don't have to be a separate element of the model.
Okay, so I think regarding your first comment that every node is a IRI, blank node, JSON-LD value, or list, if you go down and read the definition of JSON-LD value, we include typed value and language types, language tag string, which is from RDF.
Okay.
So we include that, and then on top of that, we extend what RDF allows in the value space to include also the JSON true and false values, JSON numbers, and JSON strings.
Okay, so
an extension.
That. Okay, so so when I read that other bullet item about a JSON-LD value is a et cetera, so this item here. It wasn't clear to me that what was mentioned as string and or number or true or false, it wasn't clear to me that those actually lined up with the same notion in the RDF model. So this is something I'm just not certain about. Maybe they do. I'm just not certain about this.
Right. So string, I believe, does. Number does not, because the RDF data model, is based on XML schema, and XML schema says that there's integers and doubles. It splits the value space, whereas
okay.
JSON combines the value space.
Basically,
the number is XSD.
It's more general.
Is the value space of XSD integer and XSD decimal. And then true and false, the value space is the same between JSON and XML schema, but the lexical space is not. And I didn't want to just hand wave at that point, because Well, you can say that the value space is the thing that matters for the model, but we can't say that, because we're talking about types, we can't say that XML schema Boolean is the same thing as JSON Boolean, because that's not true. Because in XML schema Boolean, you can have 0 and 1 in the lexical space, and you can't have that in the lexical space for JSON.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Does that make sense?
Yep, yep.
I mean, it's super nitpicky, but that's, if we're trying to...
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, okay.
So, good. Okay. So I guess the only thing then would be the mention of list, which I think doesn't need to be mentioned if lists are just treated as syntactic sugar.
Yeah, and I'm not convinced that they are. So there are two problems there. One, I don't think lists are syntactic sugar. I don't understand the argument, because if we're talking about the data model, there has to be some kind of representation in the data model, right? For it, because you can't just have syntactic sugar that translates to nothing in the data model. It has to translate to something in the data model. And so in RDF, the syntactic sugar in Turtle translates to, RDF first, RDF rest, RDF next, that kind of stuff, right? So that's the translation in the RDF model, except that that's not actually mentioned anywhere in RDF concepts as far as I could find. There's no mention of lists or sets or anything in RDF concepts, which is what we point to talk about the RDF data model. They're external to the document. So there was nothing to point to. So if there was something in RDF concepts that we could point to, then we could get rid of that bullet point. But since that doesn't exist in RDF concepts and it exists in RDF schema, we can't say it's just not a part of the RDF data model. I understand that many people just, you can think logically about it and say, well, it's basically a part of the RDF data model, but it is not described in any way in RDF concepts. So since we're being pretty pedantic about this, there needs to be something in RDF concepts that says sets and lists are part of this data model, and here's how they're represented. If that was there, we might be able to remove the bullet item.
So why not just point to RDF schema?
I'm afraid of pulling in too much. I can look at that, but RDF schema is not a part of the RDF data model, from what I understand. There's no mention of it being a part of the RDF data model in RDF concepts. Maybe I missed that, but I couldn't find it. I looked pretty hard for it over the weekend. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Just a comment, if it might be possible to correlate this potential RDF concept problem with the suggestion we agreed on to take up the list value thing, because apparently they are underspecified and aren't supposed to be used as just properties, but if they are just properties in the RDF conceptual model, then that would be an argument for the open annotation approach of actually using them, and thus for JSON-LD to extend the syntax to be able to describe them. So I suspect there is an intent here which is missing in RDF concepts, which is present in the 2004, at least in the primer and in parts of the syntax that I scanned previous to this telecom.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that the namespace used for RDF list is in fact RDF, not RDFS.
Yes.
Yeah, but so does RDF concepts pull in RDF schema in any kind of normative way? Or does RDF schema say that it extends RDF in any kind of normative way?
I don't know.
Yeah, those are the references that I
RDF schema
is
definitely
find.
Normative, yes.
But it doesn't say that it extends the RDF data model.
Well, but the use of lists is not an extension of the RDF data model. It's just a use of it's just a convention for using the RDF that uses the RDF data model, according to certain conventions, and one of those conventions is the use of encoded lists, where there's a first and a next, and or first and rest, rather. So it doesn't actually need to extend the data model at all. It just defines certain commonly used things within that data model.
Yeah, but it's still a vocabulary.
Whereas
in JSON, it is part of the data model. So you have an array, and that's really a data structure in there.
Right.
And you could, of course, map that to some other vocabulary just as well.
Right.
Well, you could. You could make up a different vocabulary for it, but that, what would be the point of making up a new vocabulary when there's already a standard one? We're doing that.
No, I'm just saying that in JSON-LD, lists are part of the data model. So it's like a type, a node type. They are kind of, well, just if you have...
But that's what we're discussing, though, is whether they need to be a part of the data model.
What Marcus is saying is they are, fact, in JSON, a part of the data model. There's no escaping that. It's not a, you know, it's... JavaScript has a list data type. It is a core part of the data model. I don't understand how we can remove parts of the JSON data model and just say they're like the RDF data model, because the JSON data model doesn't say anything about RDF first and RDF next. It doesn't talk about graphs. It doesn't talk about any of that stuff. It just says, you know, the JSON data model just says there exists a list data type. This is how you express it in the syntax.
Right, it's a higher level.
RDF just, right, exactly. RDF just doesn't have that. If RDF had a node type that was a list, then it would align perfectly with the JSON data model, and we could do that. But it doesn't, and I think that's the core missing bit. There may be another argument to think about it in a different way, but that's, you know, at the core of it, the JSON data model has a high-level construct that is a list, or low-level construct, however you want to view it, that is a list. It is a core part of the data model. RDF does not have such a thing. It depends on kind of this vocabulary to do it, which is fine. That's the standard way that you express lists in RDF, but that is fundamentally different from the way that the JSON data model expresses lists.
Okay, so I don't think that there would be any test cases that would be changed by the way this is described. So
no,
it seems
I mean,
to me that it's
the
just a matter of how it's...
Sorry, go ahead.
What's that?
Go ahead.
Yeah, so it seems to me it's just a question of how this concept is being described. And so at present it's being described as a difference between the data models. From my perspective as kind of more of an RDF head, it doesn't seem to me that it needs to be described as a difference. But I don't think it has any impact at all on test cases.
It doesn't. And I think that, you know, we're many of the changes that we've made lately have been editorial. They haven't changed the test cases at all. They have changed the way that you think about the data model. I think, you know, it's those kinds of discussions are they're always... They're not difficult. They're difficult discussions because there are multiple valid ways to think about the data model, and you have to kind of look at it from a.
Right.
We're trying to be consistent here, and so if we make an argument that says, you know, JSON numbers are fundamentally different from XML schema integers and decimals, and we talk about the value space and the lexical space when we you know make the statement that they're different, I feel like we have to apply the same kind of logic to the way lists are represented in JSON and RDF. And if there are differences in the way that the you know if we can find a difference and it is a non-trivial difference in the way that you think about the data model, then I think we have to be consistent in the way that we apply those rules.
Yeah. So to my mind, I don't see any benefit in calling it out as a difference from perspective of an RDF head. If you see a benefit in calling it out as a difference from kind of a JSON LD perspective, then that may be a good reason to call it out. Marcus, do you see a benefit in calling it out?
Actually,
as a difference?
Hold on 1 second. Nicholas has been on the queue for quite a while. So
I'm sorry. I apologize.
That's fine.
Oh, no. Yeah. Well, actually, I think I can answer that as well. And yes, there is a slight benefit from the JSON perspective. The benefit is that since in JSON there are arrays, and with no other thing in place, those arrays represent repeated statements in RDF. We don't really need to call that out because that's a minute difference. Although we need to, I think that RDF people understand that fairly intuitively. Although we mention sets explicitly because to people who aren't accustomed to RDF, but to modern programming languages and dynamic languages and languages with a native set type, that's recognizable. Even more fundamental, though, of course, is the ordered list, which is more common than sets in dynamic languages and is the only kind in pure JSON or regular JSON, where the order is, it's undefined if it's semantically needed, but it's there. And therefore, we need something to explain lists in JSON LD, and we need to explain it in a way, in the same way as we explain sets and as we explain the different node types of other things, such as literals, and especially not in a way which introduces RDF first and RDF next, because those should not come into discussion when using pure JSON LD.
Yeah. So the other reason. That's a pretty solid reason that Nicholas brought up. The other reason is that I think that not having native lists in RDF is a bad thing. I think that eventually we're going to want to have native lists in RDF, and so you know we started with JSON LD stuff. We started off with graph labels, blank node identifiers for graph labels, and we took that.
So I think we can shorten this because I agree.
Okay. Okay.
Just want to save time.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah.
keep that difference in there.
Yeah, I'm fine with it staying in. Yep. Yep.
Okay. All right.
And for exactly the reason that you just mentioned. Yes.
Okay. Okay, great. Yeah, it helps us with gives us leverage when we try to
make
the argument that it's beneficial to have this natively in RDF. Okay, let's see.
There was one other thing. Oh, sorry.
I was just going down.
Oh, okay.
The differences. I think I'm done. So, Ravul, blank nodes as graph labels, that change was made. Blank nodes as property remains because there's a difference there between the two models, and that's still in discussion. Sets and lists we just discussed, and JSON numbers and Booleans we discussed a little bit ago.
Actually, a little bit more on sets and lists, if you don't mind, because I was going to email this separately, but maybe we can discuss it briefly now. It seems strange to me to have the default for arrays be unordered in JSON LD. It would seem to me to make more sense to have the default the other way, following the principle of least surprise.
I think, right. I agree with principle of least surprise, but I think that would surprise JSON developers.
But I thought that the default in regular JSON is that they are ordered.
It is, but I remember us discussing this before and thinking that was a bad idea. Anyone else remember that discussion better than I do? Nicholas?
Yeah, we discussed it quite a bit in the beginning, and I think the rationale we came up with was that the RDF that would be generated if we would do that would be quite unmanageable. So there would be heaps of blank nodes, heaps of RDF next and rests, first and rests, and so you couldn't really work with the RDF anymore without changing every single array to a list.
But am I correct in understanding that what we're talking about is just the default? Because you can do it either way with an explicit marker, right? You can explicitly mark it
That's true, yes.
If you would
change the default, then basically everything would turn in a list. So you would end up with hundreds of blank nodes and, well, everywhere. And developers typically wouldn't care about that because they just don't care about the order and they wouldn't care about the RDF that gets generated, but you couldn't really work with the RDF anymore in a sensible way, I think. So that was the rationale for making the default to set.
And Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I agree that that's the reason. And while it's true that the arrays in JSON are ordered by their nature, in APIs and in all the RDF or the JSON LD examples, they commonly are only sets. It's never defined how they are ordered, what the reasons are for their ordering. And since JSON LD is intended to be used with RDF properties, there is only a handful of common RDF properties defined, such as author list and contributor list in Bebo, for instance, or the property chain axiom and things like that, where the order is semantic, where it means something. It means preference, or it's a selector, or a path. In every other case, it's just a bundle of things. And I think that's the better case, to have it explicitly defined as not meaning anything. The order doesn't mean anything. The same thinking has obscured lots of things using XML, where you say that you sort of could rely on the order of the elements, but you're not really sure if you should. So in this case, it's better to say that you don't know if you can rely on the order unless you explicitly say that you can and define the meaning thereof.
I would think that the exact opposite rationale, I mean, as a programmer, I would use the exact opposite rationale. Unless something explicitly told me that I could ignore the ordering, I would assume that I would have to retain the ordering, for example, in XML or anything else that for which the syntax is an ordered syntax.
So I think that's true. So if you get an array in as a programmer, you basically say, okay, there's an order for this stuff. I shouldn't shuffle the array needlessly.
Unless I know explicitly differently. Yeah.
Right, exactly. But I think the downside for that is that it makes the data incredibly difficult to work with once you translate it to RDF from JSON-LD, if you take that position. So there's a trade-off. I mean, you know, this isn't a black and white decision. There's a trade-off. If we decide to do lists as ordered by default, the RDF that's generated is going to be very difficult to use, and that's the reason we don't do it.
Well, it just means you'd have to put in the like an @set keyword or an @unordered or whatever.
Yeah, but you'd have to do that for every single property, and I think the as
for
Nicholas
everyone
said,
that wouldn't. Yeah, everyone that
right.
Every array that you don't want ordered, yeah.
Yeah, and as
Nicholas
said, that's
basically 90% of the existing usage of properties in RDF or more.
Yeah, all of the usage.
So maybe
of
you can do it at a top level or something, you know. At a top level.
Yeah, we discussed it, if we could set it in the context. I think, I don't know if there was a proposal. The discussion was then that you should be able to put at container and then define what the default container is. That could even define set to be the default for every property and things like that.
But what we end up seeing is basically a whole bunch of boilerplate JSON LD out there where people set container set. Right, based on the JSON LD that we've seen out in the wild right now.
I'd still like for set to be the default. Right now, the default is false. If we would have a keyword, it would be false because we collapse things to not a set if there is only one value by default.
Yeah, although we do that on purpose.
Yeah, but that's also a trade-off. It's another trade-off, but one we discussed previously.
Yeah. So,
but in general, I agree with David that as a programmer, you think like that, although you also said unless explicitly told otherwise, and with JSON LE, we are explicitly telling everybody otherwise.
But there's also this design goal of minimal changes going from JSON to JSON LD, and this is a significant change because it's changing the default.
Yeah, but that's we don't.
Yeah.
It's definitely true. It's not true for an RDF user. It's true for the ones who we aim for should expose their APIs. But in general, I think that it's a lax attitude in APIs and in use of data sets on the web, which is extremely problematic. As a consumer of wild data sets from various parts, I've had the problem of never knowing if the order is intentional. Can I do anything with it? Can I reorder it in the presentation? And so I think it's better to force you to...
Can we revisit the idea of specifying it in the context so that it is, kind of globally? So that you don't have to have it, all throughout your whole JSON, but it can just be in there once, but it is at least explicit.
I would like to do that.
Because then, JSON LD already has, you can serialize the same data in so many ways already in JSON LD. And if you're doing that as well, and you think about remote contexts which you don't even see most of the time, then you can't really interpret the data anymore by just looking at it. So I would be against doing that. I would be fine with doing it in a processor flag if we really need to, but not in the context.
From my perspective, I would like to do that because I would like to be able to, in the context, say, at container set. For everything, because that would eliminate, then I would have to define container null or something on the properties which are only one valued.
Okay, so the other question is, seeing as we're trying to go into candidate rec, this is a substantive change, do we want to hold up JSON LD for this one feature, knowing that we can put it in later as a processor flag if we want to, and which would probably be safer to do.
Yeah, I can wait for that. Absolutely.
Well, how would a JSON LD author indicate how would the JSON author set that processor flag?
They're just
how would the JSON LD author specify that?
I would be against it as a processor flag. I would only support it as a mechanism for the container.
For the container, okay. To answer your question, David, right now they would have to specify the property and then specify at list. So they can do it now, but they just have to be very explicit about it. And it's the non-default case. They can't set it globally. They have to set it specifically on. They have to say which fields are ordered. But they can do that today if they want to. But I think that you want it different. You want there to be a default that's set globally to the document.
I'm worried about the element of least surprise here, because this is definitely an element of surprise. It reverses the meaning, the usual meaning of an array in JSON.
Right, but it has not, with all the people that adopted JSON LD and are using it, it's not come up as a significant problem. So I understand the theoretical argument, but when we're talking to implementers, nobody's complained about it.
Maybe because it's been clear enough in the spec or something. I don't know.
I don't know. I do think that we're taking implementation feedback. So, you know, when Robert came on the call today, we tried, you know, that was us taking an implementation feedback and seeing if there was another way to solve the problem. But we have not had implementers come on the call and say that this is a huge problem for them.
Yeah. Okay, well, I mean, if there were some other way for the author to be able to globally indicate it, I really think that would be better.
Mm-hmm. I think if we
because I agree, you don't want to have it scattered throughout the whole, you know, throughout the whole document. I agree that would be messy, but it does seem to me to be something that the author should be able to indicate.
Right. So we
is there a use case for that? I mean, like, is there? Do you have any data in mind where every property is a list?
Where every property is a list. Well, it would be the most natural way to express lists using an array. And I certainly express lists sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a question of the default. It's not that you can't do it one way or the other. It's a question of what should the default
be. But in order to make it sense to change it to at least, the default to at least, you would need to have data where the majority of all values are lists. So I can't really think of a good use case where most properties are lists, but I don't know, maybe you have one. So typically care about the order just in a couple of instances, and in the majority of instances you don't care about the order.
Yeah, that is quite possible that most of the use cases are unordered. Yeah, that is quite possible.
So the one thing that sticks in my mind as being dangerous is if we make this change right before JSON-LD 1.0 either goes to candidate rec or we do another short last call and go to CR with it, and it backfires on us, meaning that we have to take it out of the spec or change it. I think we really need to ship JSON-LD. And I think this is a discussion we could potentially have in JSON-LD 1.1 for the next generation JSON-LD stuff. And we haven't had a great deal of feedback saying that this is going to take JSON-LD 1.0. So we haven't had anyone saying that this is the reason that they're not going to use JSON-LD 1.0
yep.
or that it totally screwed up their data because this feature didn't exist.
Yep. Okay. I don't want to hold it up. So if you think that you want to go ahead like this, I don't want to stand in the way. It does seem to me like the wrong judgment call, according to the principle of least surprise here.
Mm-hmm. Well, we will find that out pretty quickly, I think.
Yeah.
If there's a more adoption of JSON-LD than exists now, and I think in that case we might want to change, and this would be a huge change. We would change JSON-LD 1.1 to just assume lists as default instead of ordered lists as default instead of sets as default.
And that would be a bigger disruption.
Right. It would be a non-backwards compatible change. It would be pretty bad.
Yeah.
Go
ahead, Nicholas. Sorry.
Yeah, I think that it can't fly from my point of view, given that for every case where I've seen order having meaning, it's always been very specific technical reasons. In all the other cases where someone has taken the advantage of a container being orderable, such as in XML. They have exploited that and implicitly ordered things on properties of the object, but that always turns out to be a nightmare to maintain. And the, in every specific scenario where order is used, you define the order based on an intrinsic property, such as the updated value of an entry in Atom or things like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I personally think the best solution would be to have a simple global way to specify at set, and then users that always want to do sets would just automatically get used to always doing that. But like I say, I'm not going to hold things up here. If you really don't want to do that,
David, is reopen issue 12. Reopen issue. Is this issue 12?
Yeah, I think it is issue 12.
Okay, we could reopen it and put it on the JSON-LD next docket to revisit the issue. Would that be okay with you, David? Or
it's going to be okay with me to just leave it as is. I don't want to hold things up here.
Okay.
But I just wanted to express that it does feel to me like the wrong. Let me just put it this way. If we could come up with a simple global way to specify it so that people just automatically get used to doing that, you know, when they want to do it as sets, which is most of the time, I think that would be a better solution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just used to typing that once at the beginning of each JSON-LD document or something, or in the context, or whatever.
I disagree. I might be open to the idea of being able to explicitly specify that it should be ordered for everything, but not by default.
All right, well, let's go on, then. I don't want to hold things up. So.
Okay. I'm reopening issue 12 and assigning it to the JSON-LD next work, and then we will discuss it at some point in the future. And this will be a reminder for us to revisit the issue and see if people are having problems with it. And if they are, then we're
yep.
in trouble. But at least we'll, you know, remember to look at the issue again.
Yep.
Okay, we're well past the time on the call. If there are no other concerns or issues for the call today, we will meet again next week and continue going through the issues. Anything last minute before we go? Okay, thanks everyone for the call, and we'll chat next week.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thanks, bye.